Engage 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending any state's National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge saying last night it appears the Trump administration was deliberately trying to circumvent her previous ruling, blocking the Oregon Guard from being deployed. Talks beginning in Egypt today on trying to end the Israel-Hamas war. Talks not beginning in Washington today on trying to end the government shutdown.
The Senate today will try to force another vote on a Republican proposal that does not include any of the Democratic demands, which are to reverse Medicaid cuts and also to extend those expiring Obamacare subsidies so health insurance premiums don't go up for millions of Americans. But at this point, these two sides are still at odds. They are only digging in, and there is no end in sight to this government shutdown.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The Supreme Court opening up its session today with some major rulings expected this term on the expanse of presidential power. Nobel Prize in Medicine handed out today. Nobel Peace Prize handed out on Friday. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed a bipartisan bill into law on Friday in an effort to crack down on potential misuse of artificial intelligence. Wisconsin Act 34 targets the use of artificial intelligence to create or share explicit photos of a person generated without their consent. The law specifically defines synthetic intimate representation, prohibits publishing an artificially generated representation of an identifiable person with the intent to harass or intimidate them, and expands the crime of representations depicting nudity. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and law enforcement partners say they interacted with over 1,600 ATV and UTV riders during their safety campaign on Labor Day weekend. The Think Smart Before You Start campaign sought to ensure all riders were using the state's trails responsibly amid an increase in fatal ATV and UTV crashes. They say the three most common citations issued to riders during the safety campaign were for not wearing helmets, not wearing seatbelts, and illegally operating on a highway. A Dallas man charged with making terrorist threats after threatening to shoot staff members at the Rice Lake Veterans Administration Center has been sentenced to 2 years of probation. 39-year-old Jonathan West entered into a plea deal at a hearing on Thursday, pleading guilty to felony making terrorist threats and misdemeanor unlawful phone use. According to court documents, West had called the Rice Lake facility multiple times the day of the incident and is accused of making similar threatening statements to two other VA offices. City of Ashland officials are exploring the possibility of purchasing the Northland College campus shortly after it was listed for sale. The school permanently closed last spring amid budget constraints, and portions of the campus like the baseball and softball fields have already been sold. The city council approved hiring a consulting company to examine potential uses for the 130-acre campus, as well as if purchasing it is financially feasible. They say they could develop a potential plan for the purchase by early November. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
He said we're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching them, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Far more fall-like today with partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 60s. Skies becoming mostly clear tonight, a chilly night with a low near 37. Some frost possible to start the day on Tuesday, otherwise sunny and cool with a high of 61. Current temperature is 46.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He looks a little confused right now because I played the wrong music, but that's okay. Now, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's one curve after another. John and Gordy are here as well from WMDX in Madison. Professional live radio, ain't nothing like it, right, guys?
No, nothing
like
it.
You got it. Are you in a different location today, Pat?
I am. Thursday, Friday, I was in Nashville. Today, I'm in Dallas for the next
Dallas.
Days here. First, there was a conference that Sherry was attending, and on our way down here to visit, we got one daughter lives here along with a couple of grandkids. The other daughter brought her kids along, so we've got the whole hoot and holler together this week for a few down here in Dallas as we enjoy about an hour of the day at the beginning and an hour at the end, and in the middle you just look for air conditioning wherever you can get it. Really? That's all the Texas. I hope you guys had a good weekend.
We did not as busy as your weekend apparently, but it was warm, beautiful weather up here in Madison and in Wisconsin, I believe. So everything went well. In fact, we might be getting some rain today, which we could use. My lawn looks outrageous.
Mm-hmm. And I was busy at the walk to help end Alzheimer's, which was a huge turnout here in Madison at Warner Park. And perfect weather for that, but saw a lot of the folks, and WMDX was one of the participating sponsors for that. So it was great to see everybody there.
And we talked to Pam Yonke, the farm babe, about the World Dairy Expo. And that was just a fantastic event, but really, really hot weather for all the animals there, trying to keep them cool and comfortable. And that was not easy to do. One thing I did learn, though, the cattle or the cows they bring in from Canada have to have passports. So
I didn't pick up on that part of the conversation.
The hoof print down there. Yeah.
Yes, the hoof print. Got to make sure they're not smuggling anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is reminiscent of the old, butter and margarine battles.
Yes.
Of days gone by.
Did you participate in that? Did your parents participate in that?
I don't know. I remember hearing the tales of it about going to get the oleo, and you'd have this little packet of yellow dye that you would mix in with it so that it looked like butter.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't the same.
I think my parents knew somebody in the inside because we bought the yellow margarine already. We didn't have to mix it or anything. We the whole family, by the way, went down there in a car, picked up this oleo margarine yellow.
It just sounds like reminiscent of the bootleggers. They needed something else to do once Prohibition was over. So it's like, now we're not running moonshine anymore, we're running margarine into those dairy states that don't allow it. But it was I you know, did hear about the, I've been monitoring the weather there. It was like 87 up on Lake Wissota on Saturday. I don't think we're going to see 87 anymore. I mean, we could, but it doesn't, it looks like fall's here for real now. And that's fine. You got these great events like the walk to end Alzheimer's. We were just talking before the break about how you guys in Madison, you've got so many trails for biking and walking and doing all these events. It's just wonderful for recreation, and how Wisconsin's been a real leader in converting, you know, old rail lines that aren't used anymore into these bike and walking trails. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's just no excuse to be a couch potato around these days.
Well, and they're just about to start a huge, I think, 3-year project on John Nolan Drive, which will reroute the bike paths over that way. And well, it's going to reroute everything. It's going to be a mess.
It is going to be an absolute mess. And anybody that uses John Nolan to kind of come into Madison from the south, as Parker points right to himself and chagrins, is going to have to take one of those other roads. I was telling folks before about down here in Dallas, you know, they've got nothing but land. They got nothing but space to put everything in. And so the freeways here have all these extra express lanes and, you know, everything. So it's amazing what you can do with oil money. Apparently there's a lot of it down here.
Yeah.
You can build the roads super nice. Although I did have a comment on here about from Tony going, toll roads, express lanes. You're not turning into a fib on us, are you, Pat? I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to say that. In Wisconsin, I don't know that toll roads would ever fly. To me, that always has struck me as like the, you know, political poison to suggest that we have a toll roads in Wisconsin.
Maybe
there's an appetite now. I don't know.
Well, they talked about it for a while. Mm-hmm. My idea was to just, you know, put a toll road at the beginning at the border.
At the border. Yeah.
And just have, you know, truckers go through. They need to pay for the roads. You know, they're wearing them out. So why not have just something at the border of the state?
Yeah. I'd be good with the trucks paying it, because sometimes, especially when one decides to ride next to the other one and they're blocking both lanes for a while, it's when I get on my soapbox and I'm like, you know, we could give these trucks a road of their own, and they could all just stay on that one road in that one lane. We could even put all the trucks together as they go down. You know what, we could put steel rails down and make it even easier for all that cargo to go up and down. Well, we could call it a railroad. And then we wouldn't need quite so many trucks on the road if that could happen.
Right.
I'm afraid that ship has sailed. Everybody wants instant gratification. We can't be waiting for the trains. We got to get things right to where they got to be right now.
Look, I want to take care of the tolls. All the fibbers that are coming up here, they own property, land, lakefront properties. That's cool. Pay for the roads too, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. And I think we should at least get some help with our roads.
Yeah, that is actually where I have the one unpopular position, as people get their EVs and they don't like the higher, you know, cost for the tabs, because they're like, why? It's like, you're penalizing me. Well, no, we're just making sure you pay for part of the roads too, because you're clearly not paying it at the gas pump anymore, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but yes, you still got to help pony up for, you know, some of the wear and tear on the roads.
Well, I've got an EV now.
Yep. That's where we turn to John's ongoing update to turn his home into a mini power plant for all the EV drivers in Madison to stop
I'm
by.
I'm going
to
start using a lot of electricity in my
How's
home.
That going?
Well, we're getting a charging station put in on the 14th of this month.
Ooh, we're getting there now. Okay.
Yes. And it only costs about $2,000, Pat. So I'm spending tons of money just to put an EV in so I can save a little money on gasoline. I don't know if this is working out for me.
I would love to see in the end, if you could track all the expenses and see if it works out in the end or not. I think that it will, but you have to do these big expenses, you know, for outlay, and it makes you question it, you know.
Yeah.
But no regrets at this point.
No regrets. You know, it's just the experience, a lot of learning. You have to really educate yourself on all of this? You know, what kind of stations you use? You have to download the apps for two or three different kinds of manufacturers of those stations and set up accounts with them.
But you're finding a few little things on the car that are not to your liking, though, like the door handles.
Oh, the door handles, Pat. Yeah, you know.
Listen to this.
Look, Tesla came up with this idea to streamline these cars. So those door handles that stick out just a little bit create a tremendous amount of friction.
So they wanted to streamline it.
So they streamlined it, and now you have to push the handle in order. It's kind of like a seesaw, you know.
And
it just
push it on one side to bring the handle out.
But here's the story. Here's the story. China has decided to abandon that idea completely because they can't really see the logic in going to the extreme of not having handles on doors simply for the fact that it might cause a bit of friction. They're not doing it. They're getting rid of it.
We're not racing here. This isn't Formula One where a door handle could make the difference.
Exactly.
Just wait until winter and it freezes over and you can't get into your car.
That's what I'm worried about. You know, ice or snow building up behind the handle and I'm not able to kind of push it in.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you that story when the time comes.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get here.
Yeah,
that's right. You'll have to tell us the story by phone. You know, say, come get me. I can't get into my vehicle.
That's right.
So,
well, it'll be an excuse I'll use.
Yeah. Now, you guys, we've all been doing radio for a long time here since, baseball was only on the radio. TV hadn't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. So as you track the Brewers, I wanted to ask you guys, for as long as you've been doing morning radio, when there's either a Packer night game or like the Brewers game doesn't even start till 8 o'clock.
Right.
Do you still for the purposes of, you know, show prep and research, you know, stay up past your bedtime, or do you just, you know, in this day and age go, you know what, I'll catch the highlights at 5 a.m. and that'll be good?
Oh, I'm staying up, definitely. But I'm
you're staying up.
Absolutely. But I'll take a nap sometime this afternoon to you know, get ready for it. But yeah, I know it's crazy. I don't know why they're doing this at 8 o'clock at night. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Just the money. It's just the networks and the money. Yeah.
I turn in, you know, I'll get so keyed up, I'll so angry about the game that I won't be able to get to sleep right away. So I just give up early on. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on and I'm good.
Just check the highlights.
Find out in the morning. Tomorrow. Anyway, Gordy keeps track of that for me.
Yeah.
I was explaining how I couldn't see any of game one because we were traveling. We were at the Nashville airport on Saturday afternoon. And you be in Tennessee and you try to get just one of the 7,000 TVs at the Nashville airport to not be on college football. And good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead, I was following it on the phone. I'm looking at the score updates. Well, first off, the Cubs scored first, top of the first, you know, leadoff home run. And we're like, oh, this is not good, you know. But Freddie kind of, you know, took hold of things after that. And next thing you know, the Brewers' bats are going to work. And as I'm watching the score just pile on, I texted to a couple of buddies. I said, I'm so sad I'm missing this on TV just for the cutaways of Craig Counsell. Well, sure enough, a few minutes later on social media, people start putting posts of Counsell smirking as the camera cuts away to him, which frankly makes it one of the best parts of the game.
Yeah. You know. Well, the fans were really giving it to him in the stadium. It was nonstop.
Can't say that I blame him. I've said all the time, yes, he deserved to be the highest paid manager in baseball, but there were also other teams that were going, and he didn't necessarily have to go to the Cubs. So I don't mind the extra ribbing that he gets and how good this is going to feel if we end up prevailing in this series. But to do that, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have to keep in mind that we still got to play the game tonight. 7:35 is the start time on several Civic Media radio stations. And then you've got the Badgers who will play next Saturday. That's a night game at Iowa. 4 p.m. coverage begins next Saturday. But I was telling Parker before, guys, that we've reached that era now where because the Badgers didn't suffer an embarrassing loss this past Saturday, it's practically a win.
It is.
It's a good way to put it.
Nice way to look at it.
Right.
It's the, what do they call those? The symbolic victories, you know?
Yeah. That's right.
The things that we'll take when we can. We're talking to John and Gordy from WMDX in Madison, and we'll continue that conversation. And then 15 minutes from now or so, we're going to be talking about the cuts that are coming to healthcare. There's a lot of focus on the government shutdown, understandably, but we can't forget how we got to this point. We got to this point because of major cuts coming to the Affordable Care Act and to Medicaid, and Democrats wanting them restored. Republicans need Democratic votes to pass a budget, and yet they don't want to negotiate with those same Democrats. So we'll talk to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin all about keeping our eye on the ball and restoring some of those health care cuts that are otherwise coming. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio is a young local gal and her mom, and this gal you might know from a lot of the music venues that have been here in the Hayward area, and more particularly at the Big Top Chautauqua. Marley Payne is here with her mom, Brianna. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Tell me about, Mom, tell me about how all this started. When did you realize that Marley had a gift for singing? I'm sure it was at a young age. Tell us a little bit about that history.
My husband and I can remember back to when she was even as young as like 2 years old and just singing from the moment she woke up to the moment she went to bed. And most of it didn't make sense at that age.
Well, sure. Yeah. Right.
And she just would come up with these cute little melodies and just be singing all the time. And we always knew when she wasn't feeling well, because she wouldn't sing on days that she didn't feel well.
It was a good indicator.
Yeah. But really just always singing, always just humming something, whatever. So because of that, two summers ago, my husband was looking into a kids' music camp that she could do something in summer with, sure. with more music and yeah. specifically something with instruments. She had never played an instrument. She knew she kind of wanted to get involved with something, but had no experience in that. So thank you to the Google machine for suggesting yes. Big Top Chautauqua, but they have a kids bluegrass camp. It's a 4-day camp where kids get to go there with no experience, try different instruments. And then there's different levels you can work up to, more of like an intermediate or an advanced level. But
yeah,
that is where she found her love of guitar and has not put it down yeah. ever since.
Marlee, tell me about your experience going to this Big Top Chautauqua thing and what you thought of it when you first went there.
Yeah, I was really, really nervous because I didn't know any of the kids and I was by myself. All the people were super nice and the teachers were very helpful. And by the end of it, I was very happy I went and definitely wanted to go the next year. But yeah, in the beginning, it was very scary, but I definitely learned a lot. And yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So that was the very first time you played a guitar?
Yeah, yep.
Did you try piano or anything else? Violin?
Uh-uh.
No, it was guitar. No,
it was guitar. Okay. Yep.
They have mandolin, fiddle, banjo,
yeah.
bass, and guitar. Those are the instruments that they offer to the kids okay. at that particular camp.
Yeah.
And you pick like one or two a year is kind of what they want you to focus on. Mm-hmm. And she just happened to pick guitar. So
yeah.
And kind of glad she did.
Huh? Yeah.
So all this excitement and all this exposure kind of started when you were at the artist showcase at the mm-hmm. Park Center mm-hmm. Last year, I think that was, or 2 years ago.
Yep, 15 months ago now, so okay. not quite 2 years.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So you were featured at the artist showcase at the Park Center, and I think the audience liked you. I think the audience and there was some other musicians that took a liking to you. Tell us about your experience at the artist showcase and what happened there.
Yeah, I got to work with Michael Pilhofer from yeah. the park, and we would go to his recording studio and we picked this group of songs that I really enjoyed, and we rehearsed them probably for a couple months, and it got time, and it was a great time, and the house band was behind me, and mm-hmm. Molly Otis got to play with me during that. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And when Molly discovered you or met you at that point, she really took a liking to you and kind of took you under her wing as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because my mom's like, "You're working with Molly Otis." And I kind of didn't understand at that point because yeah. I'd never oh, yeah. really heard of her before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started watching her videos from like back when she was younger and was in Nashville and stuff, and it was really cool and
yeah.
crazy. And then we just continued working together, and it was mm-hmm. yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What are you doing more recently with various performances that her and her band are at?
Yeah, we've played at the Pavilion in Bayfield quite a few times, and we have Apple Fest coming up this weekend, which will be a lot of fun. And we did Musky Fest in Hayward
yeah.
and just kind of bopping around to different local places in Bayfield and in Hayward.
So tell us a little bit about your life at home. Do you have some hobbies?
Yeah, I love riding horses and playing guitar. And yeah, I did basketball for a couple years and I'm big into dance.
Yeah,
kind of like fishing with your dad.
I do. I like fishing and hunting and just okay. being out in nature.
Yeah. If you are an outdoorsy gal.
Yes, yeah. for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, and dance is something that probably comes very easy because you had a very good instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Right yeah.
wink, wink. I always tell people that I manifested the fact that she's a singer because I just listened to music constantly when I was pregnant, obviously being a dance instructor. So I like to think I had a little something to do with it, even though I'm not a singer myself.
So what do you think the future looks like for you? What are you hoping to do in the next year, maybe the next 2 years? Do you have any aspirations or goals?
Yeah, I really want to try to put together a band and pursue music and keep doing kind of what I'm doing because it's been a lot of fun the past summer. And I want to continue music in my future, and I also want to do a rescue horse ranch. That's
okay.
kind of like my dream.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Yep. Mom, how do you keep her grounded with all of this stuff going on? Not so much grounded at home because she did something wrong, but how do you keep her grounded in her personality, in her attitude? How does this work at home?
Yeah, we still just really encourage her to be a kid and let her be a kid. Be goofy, go outside, run around, build forts, like just to still be a kid, even though she's very mature for her age and taking on a lot of responsibilities as a 12-year-old. And we try to make family time as much as we can. Even when she was having different gigs this last summer, we would make camping trips out of it. We'd go hiking. We'd do exploring. And so just allowing her to still be a kid, even though she's got those responsibilities to think about.
Well, Brianna and Marley, thank you so much for coming in this morning, and I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Quick Trip has announced it will no longer accept pennies at their locations as a result of a U.S. Department of Treasury announcement earlier this year. The Department of Treasury announced in May that it would stop minting copper pennies in an effort to phase out the coin, leaving a number of Quick Trip locations without pennies needed for change. Going forward, Quick Trip locations will begin rounding down the total of all cash purchases to the nearest 5 cents. Digital or card-based purchases will continue to be processed as the exact purchase amount. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources held a public hearing on a proposed rule change for PFAS standards on Thursday. The forever chemicals have become a troublesome issue across the state as municipalities seek to remove them from their drinking water. The rule change considered on Thursday would bring the state's PFAS standards in line with Environmental Protection Agency standards. State law says Wisconsin's drinking water program cannot have looser standards than federal requirements under the Safe Drinking Water Act. A Hayward woman was arrested after allegedly leading law enforcement authorities on a high-speed chase across Washburn and Sawyer counties. According to court documents, authorities attempted to initiate a traffic stop of 52-year-old Danielle Swan before she attempted to flee, swerving into oncoming traffic and driving down a wooded trail. Authorities say they deployed spike strips, attempted a pit maneuver, and eventually used non-lethal ammunition to take Swan into custody. Swan also allegedly admitted to smoking THC following her arrest. The Barron County Sheriff's Department requested two significant expenses from the County Executive Committee at their meeting on Wednesday. Sheriff's office officials are asking for a radio upgrade estimated to cost around $1.5 million and a new patrol boat for around $80,000. They also say selling off some of their current equipment that needs replacement could help offset a portion of that cost. The full Barron County Board would need to approve the proposal with a 3/4 majority to authorize the purchases. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a 2-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Far more fall-like today with partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 60s. Skies becoming mostly clear tonight, a chilly night with a low near 37. Some frost possible to start the day on Tuesday, otherwise sunny and cool with a high of 61. Currently, it's 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, well, even when I'm on the road, like being down here in Dallas this week, I've still got time to read the Up North News daily newsletter, and you should too. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on the top of our homepage, and get signed up. Today's edition, we've been talking about the Ice Age Trail, and what a beautiful place that is to do some hiking as the leaves start to change color. And so look for an article there that Ellie's putting together, and much more. Again, get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Now getting back to the government shutdown and how long this is going to last, and in doing so, keeping in mind the root cause of this. And we've got a president who's coming up with all manner of distractions. For example, a lot of the halts to federal spending are not being done across the board. They're being done in an overtly partisan political way, shutting down projects in so-called blue states rather than red states, kind of stuff that is, you know, unethical as you can imagine. And we may get back into that tomorrow morning, but I say that to say again, to keep your eye on the ball. And what is this all about? And this is about cuts to healthcare and the increase number of people in Wisconsin and across the country that are learning about it. And they're learning about it because of groups like Opportunity Wisconsin. And Megan Rowe is going to join us now to tell us a bit more about what the group is doing. Megan, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning. You know, it's Monday, so we're hanging in there.
Yes, we are, with, you know, just day after day. And I watch the updates that you're putting on social media and some of the events that are taking place. And I mean, do you feel like characterized it fairly in talking about the increasing number of people in Wisconsin who are kind of getting past the talking points and understanding what this shutdown is really all about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been working since early 2020 to really highlight the impacts of economic policies at the federal level on Wisconsin workers and families. And I think this moment in time, more than ever since the beginning of our program, we're really seeing it sink in for people. You know, we held candlelight vigils last week before the shutdown took place in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and in Southeast Wisconsin. And it was a last minute event. We put it together and we had such amazing turnout because people were really concerned and are starting to really understand how this shutdown is going to impact their lives.
You know, we had Selena Heller on, one of our reporters at Up North News, and we ran a story that folks can see over on the Up North News social media sites. A woman from La Crosse getting very emotional, tearing up at the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance. She and her husband are just a little too young yet for Medicare, but they're also at a point where they don't have jobs that offer, you know, health insurance. And so the exchanges on the Affordable Care Act made health insurance affordable. And it's starting to hit them just how crazy expensive health insurance is going to become, you know, as the open enrollment period approaches next month. And I feel like what Selena did there was capture in just this one person what I think we're either seeing now or soon will be seen in households all around the state and frankly all around the country as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line when it comes to the shutdown. Republicans shut down the government instead of lowering healthcare costs. They refuse to address massive healthcare cost increases and extend tax credits permanently that help many millions afford care. And so, as you said, without action, millions are going to see their premiums rise by an average of 75%. And so rather than fixing the problem, Republicans in Congress like Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden are just sitting on their hands as we speak today.
And the thing is, I mean, and I've seen this in your social media posts and emails, that these are two among many members of Congress who said, we will not vote for something that makes massive cuts to health care. And yet here we're seeing the massive cuts to health care coming. And what we always hear, Megan, is that, well, the cuts are actually to make sure that people who qualify for Medicaid or Affordable Care Act subsidies actually get them. But I mean, that's not the point. The point actually appears to be adding all kinds of red tape or expense to people who do get it. When you're cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid over time here, it's pretty clear that $1 trillion in Medicaid wasn't going to undocumented immigrants.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, earlier this year, Opportunity Wisconsin flew out to Washington, D.C. with a handful of folks from across the state to help them share their personal stories with their members of Congress. And we actually sat down with Congressman Van Orden for upwards of two and a half hours. And in that meeting, he made promises to his constituents in that room that he was not going to cut or touch their benefits. And shortly after that meeting, both he and Congressman Stile passed that tax law that ripped healthcare away from over 100,000 Wisconsinites and made drastic cuts to SNAP. And again, this is all to pay for tax breaks for the wealthy. And now, as we sit here today, they're blocking plans to reverse that damage and to lower healthcare costs additionally.
Can I ask you that when you sat down with Congressman Van Orden, and I just want to know if you heard this much, I recall seeing that and I thought, and I'm sure other people are thinking too, it's like, why are you letting this congressman, you know, first off, it was, I guess, good for him and the others that they sat with you, knowing your positions on the issues and things. I thought, well, you're giving him oxygen to say, you know, what we assume is falsely, I'm not going to make any such cuts. But of course, in hindsight, you see the wisdom of that. You've actually got him on the record with you promising not to make these cuts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we certainly were skeptical that he would even take a meeting with us. And we're glad to see that he was at least willing to sit down in that conversation with his constituents. And like I said, he made the promises that he would not cut those benefits. He essentially lied in that conversation, went forward to make those cuts. And since then, I'd love to give him the benefit of the doubt that he sat down with us. But after he made those cuts, if you'll recall, he has refused to hold any in-person town halls or conversations open to his constituents. And so it's very clear that both he and Congressman Stile know exactly the impact of these votes that they have taken, and they're afraid to adjust their constituents.
Right. We're talking to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin about keeping an eye on the ball when it comes to the healthcare cuts that are being made here. So now I have to, as I often do, say it, you know, in fairness about the enhanced tax benefits for the Affordable Care Act. These are credits that were due to expire. And so there are definitely cuts coming to Medicaid programs. This one is more of something that was due to expire. The point being, though, Megan, is that, again, Democrats have been saying, if you want our votes to help pass a new federal budget, part of it is extending these tax credits. So, I mean, people, I believe, Megan, are aware or need to be aware that in some cases we're talking about actual cuts. In other cases, we're talking about benefits that were set to expire, but they're really good and they work. And why wouldn't you continue them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially you hear stories from small businesses that have benefited greatly from this additional support in their healthcare costs. And, you know, small businesses are already struggling across this country because of rising costs, because of Trump's tariffs that Congressman Steil and Congressman Van Orden also support. And so this doesn't have to happen. Republicans chose the shutdown because they wanted working families and small businesses to pay more for healthcare. And so they need to be putting these working families first, reverse the harmful Medicaid cuts that they made earlier this year, prevent healthcare costs from rising, and keep the government open.
I've been asked by Tony on YouTube here whether the meeting with Van Orden was that something that was recorded and published? Or is that something that you took part in and reported on afterwards?
Yeah. It's something we took part in and reported on afterward. And there was a group of about six or seven constituents in that meeting, and they all had the opportunity to go around and share their story, which was great and is really at the core of what we do at Opportunity Wisconsin, is uplifting individual stories and help them get across to their elected officials. But unfortunately, it seems like it fell on deaf ears.
Yeah. And by the way, there's ample recorded interactions with Congressman Van Orden, for example. He was famous for saying that benefits for people who deserve them won't go down a nickel. He repeated it. We've repeated his words back several times that he said they wouldn't go down a nickel. They're going down a lot more than a nickel, you know, as we go forward here. So we've now established these types of cuts, these things that could be restored to make healthcare more affordable. Before we go looking forward, I always feel like it's necessary to again say that these cuts, these lapses of enhanced tax credits, these are not things that are going to save money to taxpayers. These are just all going to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. So for folks going, well, yeah, we need to cut government spending. We're not really cutting government spending here, are we?
No, absolutely not. And frankly, the shutdown that we're currently in is going to be forcing millions to go without paychecks. We're on day six, so pretty soon folks are not going to be receiving their paychecks. It could be delaying Social Security and veterans benefits. And one thing that I think is starting to gain more traction that I don't think a lot of folks are talking about is how it is going to be cutting off nutrition assistance for pregnant women and young children through WIC. That program is set to run out of money at some point this week. And on top of the SNAP benefits that were cut earlier this year, you can imagine that is going to be very devastating for a lot of people in Wisconsin.
So let's look forward then in our last couple of minutes here, and you know, either things that you're doing or things that you think people can do if they want to, you know, either learn more about the issue or have some kind of input on, you know, their concerns about the current shutdown.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, we're squarely focused on the shutdown right now and making sure people are educated and understand that this is an issue that can be solved if Republicans like Congressman Van Orden and Congressman Steil would stop sitting on their hands and decide to put working families in Wisconsin first. And so folks can visit us at opportunitywisconsin.org, where they can share their story about how this shutdown is impacting them. They can follow us on social media, share their story there, and stay in touch, because we're hosting events all throughout this month and as long as it takes to make sure our elected representatives know how this is impacting their constituents. We're also talking about Trump's tariffs that are really, as I said, having a huge impact on small businesses and families. You know, Wisconsin families are already struggling to make ends meet. And with the rising cost of groceries, back to school items, as we get into the holiday season, we already know that gifts for loved ones are going to be much more expensive this year. And so we want folks to stay involved and stay engaged, because raising your voice is really one of the most important ways we can make change at the policy level.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we've had all this focus on healthcare, but we also have, you know, the trade war that the president started and the impact that we're continuing to, you know, feel on the store shelves and what we're going to see, you know, come the holiday season. So I'm glad you're able to keep the eye on more than one ball at a time. We always feel so overwhelmed, but we've got groups like Opportunity Wisconsin that are able to do that. Megan Rowe is the program director. And again, opportunitywisconsin.org is the place to go to learn more. Thank you, Megan, very much for visiting with us and giving us some background.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jane Matinere and Greg Bach. Have Matinere on air weekdays from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to find out what kinds of things are being planned for the show this week. As for this show, for the coming week, we've got Dan Schaefer in this block tomorrow from the recombobulation area. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from Capitol Hill at the start of our 8 o'clock hour, letting us know anything new on the shutdown. And we've got Congressman Mark Pocan joining us on Thursday. That again here on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Mattenair is coming up next.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Big G says Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, Wisconsin is a must for golfers of all skill levels. Designed by the legendary Pete Dye, this course delivers 18 holes of pure fun. When Big G works up an appetite, he heads to Die Hard's for pizza or an Italian beef sandwich big enough to satisfy even him. He's a fan of the brand new carts with state-of-the-art range finders. Mention Big G's name and receive $20 off your round through October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Also coming up this week, we'll be talking to Chuck Collins, who was an heir to the Oscar Mayer fortune, and then essentially gave it away, and has been talking a lot about wealth inequality in the country. He's got a new book, Burned by Billionaires. Chuck Collins of Patriotic Billionaires will be our guest on Wednesday, coming up on the program. Jane Mattenair is our guest now. Jane and Greg, you can hear them weekday mornings at 9, and you go, well, where's the Greg part of it? Greg's on Friday mornings as part of our history lesson at 6:30, and Jane joins us on Mondays to talk about what's coming up on the show this week. Good morning, Jane. How was your weekend?
Good. Oh, it was great. I was on the road. A friend and I did a road trip, and we went to Prairie du Chien. He had never been to the western part of the state. I have never been to Prairie du Chien, and he is a big historical home preservationist, and he's a big part of that in here in Racine. And there is a historic Villa Louis in Prairie du Chien that was built in 1885. Ooh. So we went and toured Villa Louis, and it was fabulous. It was what a beautiful. I love our state so much because no matter where you go, the topography is so different, and it's so beautiful in so many different ways.
I may go back to Prairie du Chien, although I still have nightmares, a little PTSD about Prairie du Chien from the time that I was actually kidnapped aboard a riverboat by Al Gore.
And, yes.
Remember, he did the post-convention rally in the year 2000 at La Crosse, the morning after the Democratic convention. And we were just there to cover, you know, Al Gore getting on the boat. And Claire Shipman was an NBC reporter at the time, and she's like, "You have to come on the boat too." I'm like, "No, we have to get back to Eau Claire." Well, they're only talking taking questions from local reporters, so you have to come on and ask a question for NBC Nightly News. Tom Brokaw's counting on you. Well, how are you
going to say? No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. And they'll just let you off right at the next stop. There was no next stop.
Oh,
hours and hours and hours went by before we could interview Al Gore. And yeah, we covered this, what, 10 a.m. event or whatever it was. And it wasn't until like 10 p.m. we got dropped off in Prairie du Chien.
Oh, no.
Had to basically ask our competition at Channel 19 if we could ride in the back of their news car.
We're just going to hang onto the sides. Would you mind if we just ride along with you guys?
We had to lay in the back of, you know, like the station wagon on top of all the spools of cable and camera equipment, all the way back to our car in La Crosse, and then get back to the station sometime well after midnight. So I never got my piece on air. There was nothing on you know, the nightly news or anything like that. It was an entirely wasted day, which is not the fault of the good people of Prairie du Chien, I hasten to add.
But yes, probably.
That's my experience there. So I need a better experience. So I'm glad you've suggested a place I could go.
You should go. Yeah, yes. You should go to Prairie du Chien. It's a lovely little town and some great little restaurants and little shoppes. And then if you drive right over the bridge on Highway 18, and then you're in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And again, Little Marquette, Iowa is right on the other side of the bridge. I wanted to drive over the bridge because ever since a couple of years ago, one of my sisters and I went to Superior Duluth, and I drove over the Blotnick Bridge.
Yes.
I've had bridge phobia, so I am trying.
I believe it.
That is the scariest bridge in the world.
It is a very scary bridge, yes.
Is it Blotnick old and bridge. Rickery or what?
It's a metal structure.
It's very archy. So you it sometimes feel like you're just going to go right over the edge at some point. And it's way up above the Twin Ports, of course, because all these massive ships have to go underneath.
Yeah, it's a really high bridge. So I'm trying to get over my bridge phobia by attacking smaller, less scary bridges.
Yes. People know the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee, and I'm blanking on the name of the bridge in Green Bay, which also, of course, is a big high bridge as well. The Blatnick Bridge puts those to shame.
It really does. And normally that has never happened to me before that I got freaked out by driving over a bridge. But yeah, we're halfway over the bridge and there was all this construction. And I looked at her and I said, "We're going to die. I love you. It's been great. Thanks."
Okay. Which is why it's being replaced, because it's now 60 years old and starting to not be as safe. So
And who did that infrastructure law that would help?
Joe Biden and a Democratic Congress.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because no Republicans voted for that, did they?
Not from Wisconsin.
Not one.
Not a single one, including Tom Tiffany, the congressman for that area. Yeah.
Little details.
What do you have coming up on the program?
Well, coming up today on the show, in Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director, she's going to join us after the 9:30 news for a little update on what happened over the weekend. After the 10 o'clock news, we're going to talk to journalist Jackie Lydon and author Kathy Giorgio, who is an author from Waukesha. She was on like this Waukesha star, you know, she was one of the alumni stars because she was an author. And then they banned her book. We're going to be talking about book bans. There is an event in Waukesha this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. This is something that, again, because of all the other news that happens on a daily basis, we have forgotten that we're still banning books.
Yeah.
And what this means and what this indicates and why this isn't good. So we're going to talk about that in hour number two. Last half hour of the show, we lighten things up, Pat, with audio sorbet. And we're going to talk about how do you alarm? Some people, how do you alarm? Some people, Greg doesn't use an alarm.
I love my watch. I love using my watch alarm because it's just a very gentle thing on your wrist to wake you up. It's not the
slap you across the face.
Other people really need that, you know?
Yeah, Greg said he wakes up before his alarm almost all the time. I still have a clock alarm.
That's adorable.
I know. Isn't that cute? For those of you who are watching on the stream who don't know, a radio alarm is a small box that you plug in and then you can get radio stations on it.
You got to
and
send you can a also to Parker.
Set, you can set the alarm. It's an amazing thing.
It is, especially if and if you don't want to hear the radio station, you just put it between stations and you get the static instead.
Mine actually has, I have the choice of sounds. Ooh. I can have the crashing waves.
Oh.
I can have the rainforest. Nice. I don't all rainforest. Right. That keeps That's me awake. Great. And then I think of snakes. But anyway.
Thank you, Jane. Have a great day. Appreciate it. The rest of you have a wonderful day as well. And we will see you back here from Dallas tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Late last night, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying any National Guard units to Oregon. That move coming after she at first blocked Oregon National Guard troops to go to Portland, and then the Trump administration sent troops from California and Texas there anyway. ABC's Jim Ryan has the Texas governor's reaction.
It wouldn't be the first time that Governor Greg Abbott has deployed the Texas National Guard for non-traditional duty. He sent 5,500 troops to the sites of protests against immigration raids and deportations, but within state borders. Now Abbott says he fully supports President Trump's deployment of the Texas National Guard to, quote, ensure safety for federal officials in Illinois.
Immigration agents.